Blog Talk Radio. Just as I am without one thing, but I. Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the
amen, amen. So we're going to begin. If there's just one on the prayer line, I was about to text you, my sister Brenda. So let us begin with a word of prayer. People are late coming on. So, Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray, Father, as your children come to the prayer line to share their testimonies and to thank you for what you've been doing all through the week for them. Father, we asking you to bless us, and we asking you to show your love for us on this prayer line. And we praying for your Holy Spirit to work in us tonight. Bless us and keep us, Father. And we ask for a blessing on this prayer line. We ask you, Father, to lead and guide us. Take us, Father, and do your will. Thank you for this blessing tonight to be able to get on this prayer line. And we ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to read something off the board. By God's grace, it says, Christ has been speaking of the period just before his second coming and of perilous through which his followers must pass, which with special reference to that time he related to the parable to the end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. There was in a city, he said, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worried me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and it shall not, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. God is going to speedily come to our aid. Amen. So now, brothers and sisters, we want to thank you and welcome you to Advent Life Ministry. And we will begin to open your line. And we're going to open the first line for 985-232. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his grace and his mercy. Because yesterday we needed it in Houma. We had hail. I don't know how large it was, but it was cracking down in Houma. It was coming with the rain, and it was so bad. I mean, it was bad. We had it bad yesterday, and I just saw it, man, and just praying the Lord watch over us, because it was so unbelievable. But all I can think of when I thought of it was, Lord, weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. And I just thank God when it passed that we can endure. We had endure, and joy came after that. Because the Lord has moved it on, because we know he's watching over us, and it's just that rain pours, we need it, and we just have to endure whatever he sends down that came down. And I just thank the Lord, but I just want to take time. I lose a phone, I find another phone, but I try to put a Bible in every phone I find in case somebody find it. I pray they open up one. Amen. So I just want to ask for prayer for my family and for the sick, the homeless, and all the hospitals, all the ones that are sleeping on the street, and all those that's running on the street, God bless you, and all the ones that are in turmoil somewhere, where the whole world is in turmoil. We just pray for all these kids that's dying. We pray for all these people that's killing their family and some of everything that's going on. We just pray that the Holy Spirit would go and intervene in these people and just give them some works that they would catch a hold of themselves and know that there's a God and that he can work it out. Other than they waking up the next morning, if they wake up and trying to catch a hold of themselves in prison somewhere where they cannot cope and it is over. So we just ask for prayer for them. But I just want to read this prayer. It is better to say nothing than the open mouth of sin with our words. The more we talk, the more likely we are to say something amiss. The tongue is often the instrument of sin. Better to let words out be few or to think before we speak. Better to weigh our thoughts before we make them spoken words. Amen. Thank God. Sometimes I just go to the devotion, and I can get some of my words that I need to, some of my prayer that I need to know. The Lord been already put it there for me. And that's why I like to share them, because it's already ready, because the Lord know what we need. And that's why I said, I pray the Lord send the Holy Spirit to these people in drugs or in turmoil or killing families and whatever they got going through their heads to fix their problems before they do it. Some of them already have it planned. And we just want to pray that they can be helped, and those that are needing help. And you know, God can fix it. There's no such thing that he can't fix. They just need a day of rest so that the Lord can fix it, like the Lord gives the Sabbath, a day of rest and think, and the Lord let the Lord work his job. So I just thank God for that, and just ask, pray for all my brothers and sisters on that being prayer line, all the missing members, all the ones that are on this community prayer line, all our speakers helping Sister Powell on her war mission, and pray for everybody. Amen. I'm gonna let Brother John speak.
And Brother John, I'd like to say hello to everyone from Louisiana. And I'd like to give tell you a testimony. I guess it's a testimony, you know, something that happened. It's good. I won't take too long. But anyway, my niece had took a picture of me. I was with my sister and her daughter, my niece, had took a picture of me one day, and I never shared it on the prayer line, but the picture she took of me, on the top of the picture, on top of my head, it was a rainbow. It was something like, I don't know, it was unusual. It was a picture of a rainbow, and the end of the rainbow was right on top of my head on the picture. And I never noticed. My sister was like, look at that rainbow. And my niece didn't know it either. We kept saying, what are you talking about? And we looked it real close because the colors wasn't clear. If you looked it real close, you could see that rainbow, and it was like real light. The colors and everything looked just exactly like a rainbow. And it was right on my head, and I looked behind me on the wall behind my head for something like a rainbow up there. And there was nothing up there behind my head on the picture, on the wall, but the picture. It was like, I said, I don't know. I said, that means some good things. I know that. The rainbow is good luck and everything. She was saying, I said, oh, yeah. But then my niece, I said, send that to my phone. And then my niece was trying to send it to my phone. She said, oh, I can't even find it. And then she kept looking through the thing, and it was gone. And some kind of way, she said, oh, I must have made a mistake and erased it. But for that one few minutes, though, my sister showed me and her the rainbow on the picture was on top of my head at the end of it. And it was like sitting on top of my head. It was weird. And like I said, when she lost the picture, I was going to send it to everybody I know. But when she did her hand, and so far, I'm thinking lost it on my phone. That was it then. So the only one saw it was me, her, and my sister. And like when she lost it, that was the end of it. But, you know, I just wanted to share it with everyone. It was something that was different. But anyway, so everyone have a blessed day. God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen. Brother John, I don't know what it means, but I just want to say thank God that the things that you believe in, that you see in, that God guide you and lead you, because I tell you, God does show us things, and by God's grace, allow him to show you all what you hope and dream, because he is a God of truth. So you keep having the faith. And keep believing, because God is going to reveal to you his will. So I just want to thank God for you coming on to share, and Sister Brenda sharing. And I just praise God that he's continued to bless you all, and especially with your home and everything else that God's going to bless you with. Amen. So I just want to thank God for that. Thank you for coming on and sharing, Sister Brenda, and being faithful to the Lord on this prayer line. So you all be blessed, and we will lift up you and Brother John and also the children. So thank you once again. And we're going to go to the next caller. That's press one. Got your hand up. We have Brother Eli. Amen. 857, your line is open. Just a few of us on here.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, brothers and sisters on this line. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. First of all, I'd like to thank God, because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I have a prayer request, my beloved sister. My prayer request is to lift up my mother in prayer. My mother needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to lift me up in prayer. I need a lot of prayer. And Sister Miola, please lift up the others in prayer. And please lift up Brother Jarrell in prayer too, that the Lord will, you know, because Sister Miola, I want to step back away from Brother Javel and give him his boundaries, and Sister Miola, I go, I, I, I am going to wait on the Lord. I am going to wait on the Lord, that the Lord, that the Lord will make him come to me, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I'm praying for my boundaries too, and I'm praying for Brother Javel, that the Lord will make him get along with me. And Sister Miola, tell the others to lift me up in prayer, because I need a lot of prayer. And tell the others too, Sister Miola, I know my boundaries. And may God bless you all in this prayer line, my brothers and sisters. And Sister Carla, may God bless you, Sister Carla, and your family members. Sister Carla, may God bless you and your family members. May God bless you, Sister Brenda and Brother John. May God bless you, Sister Tamiko, and your family members. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for Sister Carla and Nicholas and Amanda. I'm praying for Sister Power. I'm lifting up Sister Power in prayer. I'm lifting up all individuals in prayers. And Sister Miola, don't forget to tell the others what I say too on this prayer line, Sister Miola. Tell them about my boundaries. Amen. May God bless you all. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for your encouraging to and praying for us and just giving God thanks. Just, it's such a blessing. We thank you so much for your kindness and your love that you show towards your brothers and sisters. So God bless, and we're going to lift that up in prayer. We thank you. Thank you, brothers and sisters, and we welcome you on this Advent Light Ministry. It's nothing but a few. But praise God, you say, if he just be a few of us, he in the midst. So we're going to just read some scriptures, or we can, we're going to read a scripture. Well, give me just a second. I wanted to read this. I wanted to read something. I wanted to send this to Brother John. It's such a blessing to listen to this. And Brother Eli, I'm going to see that I send it to you also. So
amen.
Hold on. Let me pull it up. The lady was reading it. The lady was reading this today. Let me see. Could I pull it up? Also to you, O Lord, belong mercy. For you render to each one according to his work. The Lord God of the Sabbaths will hear earnest prayers. He will lead those who feel their dependence upon him, and will so guide the workers that many souls shall come to the knowledge of the truth. Truth as it is in Jesus exercised a transforming influence upon the mind of its receiver. Let no one forget that God is always a majority, and that with him, success is bound to crown all missionary efforts. Those who have a living connection with God know that the divinity works through humanity. Every soul that cooperate with God will do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. The Lord is a God of mercy and cares even for the dumb beast he has created. When he healed on the Sabbath day and was accused of breaking the law of God, he said to his accusers, "Do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ass from the stall and lead him away to the water? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan had bound, and lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So the Lord is saying that on the Sabbath day, it is good to to do good on the Sabbath day. The Lord is telling the Pharisees, telling the people that trying to say, you're not supposed to be doing this on the Sabbath, but Christ was God himself, and he was healing on the Sabbath. And let me continue. And when he healed on the Sabbath day, he healed the woman from her illness, you know, and a lot of the Pharisees didn't want Christ to heal the woman. You know, the woman was in bondage, and her bondage was pain. And yes, Christ healed on the Sabbath. And it says, the Lord looked upon the creature he has made with compassion. You see that? No matter to what race they may belong, God had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and had determined the time before appointed and bound up their habitation, and they should seek the Lord, if happy they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live, move, and have our being. As certain also of you own poets have said, for we are all ye are brethren. God is our common father, and each one of us is our brother's keeper. Amen. That is so true. The Bible says we are our brother's keeper. So let me go back to see if there's anyone. Press one. So there's no one. Brothers and sisters, there's just only a few of us on here tonight. I don't know where people are at. I don't know what's going on today. Maybe it's some busy day. But there's just a few. So God wants us to know he loves us in spite of our sin. But he wants us to repent of our sins and ask him to forgive us, because he know we are sinners. So we just have to repent. And so God is so good, sisters and brothers. I don't want to read too often, but I want to just share a song. Hopefully, I don't have my song book. Okay, I don't have my song book, so I can't share a song. So as we are waiting for others to join, I'm gonna read another one for you guys. Okay, we're gonna read Why Worship on the Sabbath. It says hallow mean is to keep God's Sabbath. Hallow my Sabbath, and they will be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. That's in Ezekiel 20:20, Revelation 14. Human beings are called upon to worship the Creator, and the prophecy being to view a class that, as the result of the threefold message, are keeping the commandments of God. One of these commandments points directly to God as the Creator. The fourth precept declares, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all them that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The importance of the Sabbath as the memorial of creation. The memorial is remembering the creation and remembering the Sabbath. So that it keeps ever present the true reason why worship is due to God, because he is the Creator. And that's why he said the Sabbath is important. The importance of the Sabbath as a memorial of creation. So when the Bible says about the Sabbath, it's a memorial to creation. Just like they say Veterans Day and all these other days is Memorial Day. It's remembering the soldiers, remembering this, remembering the veterans or something like that. But God says, remember the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath was created at the beginning of creation. And let me continue. Because he is the creator and we are his creatures, the Sabbath therefore lies at the very foundation of the divine worship, for it teaches that the great truth in the most impressive manner, and no other institution does this, the true ground of divine worship, not of that on the seventh day merely, but of all worship, is found in distinction between the creator and his creatures. This great fact can never become obsolete, must never be forgotten. Okay, I got a little bit more. It was to keep the truth ever before the minds of the people that God instituted the Sabbath in Eden. And so long as the fact that he is our creator continue to be the reason why we should worship him, so long as the Sabbath will continue as it's the signs of memorial. Had the Sabbath been universal, kept, the thoughts and the affection of humans would have been led to the Creator as the object of reverence and worship. There would never have been an adulterer, an atheist, or infidel. Keeping up the Sabbath is the sign of loyalty to God, to the true God, him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of waters. It follows, command mortals to worship God, to keep his commandments. We'll especially call upon them to keep the fourth commandment. Amen. And brothers and sisters, and that's the end of that reading. So I just want to thank you for being patient and listening to that reading. And God is always keeping us and blessing us. And I just want to let my brothers and sisters know, I want to thank you for coming on to share and just speaking of God's goodness, how he's taking care of you during the week and what he's done for you, because truly God is our provider. He is our protector. He is our creator. He loves us, and he will continue to take care of us. You know, when we go to sleep at night, we don't have no trust in nothing else, but God is watching over us, sisters and brothers. And that's the only thing that we have, to trust that he is watching over us. That's why we say a prayer and thank him for what he is doing. Because when the last thing said at night, thank you, Father, for watching over us and taking care of us throughout this day. And even the Bible said, no time is given to us, not 1 minute nor second. You know, so I just want to thank God for that also. So now, my brothers and sisters, we're going to go. We don't have no one else on. I don't know. We were waiting on others to call in, but I'm going to have to read something else just to keep things going. But you know what? I'm going to ask Sister Brenda to offer a word of prayer and Brother Eli to offer a word of prayer. That's all we can do. So let's ask Sister Brenda. Sister Brenda, hold on. I'm circling. Hold on. Let my computer catch up. Can you hear me? Seems like my computer, I don't know if you all can hear me. Okay, let me see. I have another one that's press one. Let me open this line. We're going to open the line, 518-951. We open in your line. Amen. Good evening.
Amen.
Welcome to Have Been Enlightened Spouse.
Amen. Good evening, my dear beloved. Sorry to be late because it's 6 now. I just want to give God thanks and praise for what God has done. God is so great. He brought me back here safely, and I am in the land of New York, upstate New York, giving praise that God took me and he brought me back safely. So I am praising him and giving him thanks. And my dear beloved, sorry this evening at the meeting, my phone got died from me while we were in the meeting. So that's the reason my community grandson came for me in that period for me to go to one of my granddaughter's baby shower. So that was the reason why I was disconnected from the meeting. Well, I must say, my dear beloved, whenever time God blesses you, you have to give praises to him. Because God blesses me with some wonderful grandchildren, community grandchildren. And these children, I'm just giving a little report about these children. Three children, they are not children again, they are young people. And these three children grew up. It wasn't easy, but thank God for their parent, their mother, right? And the Lord had placed us without encourager. Well, these three children grew up, my dear, went to school, went to middle school, go to college, and they did extremely good, I'm telling you. Two of the children, the young people, will be graduated with their master Friday. And the first daughter, she got married a few years ago, and now she is expecting her baby. So we went to the baby shower. I am telling you, you see the blessings. It was just a blessing. I saw people there that I haven't seen for 4 years, actually, because of the COVID I never saw. I saw my elder Franklin was there, other elders. You know, I saw one of my pastor. He was there, greet me. And, you know, it was just a blessing to see. And also the young people, you know, because they are young. Parents of the two, the bride and the groom, they were all there. The two parents, they were all there, and family member. And I just look and I said, Lord, what the young man came for me, picked me up. And believe me, I never knew it was one of my community grandson. You know, I know I had a face, but I didn't, couldn't picture who it was. And when I went there and the mother told me, you know, we were running late and we asked the son to take him up. I said, who it was? You know, because I know the face, but I didn't I couldn't place the person. And anyway, I have to went back to him and apologize and said, I didn't know it was you. And, you know, we hug and what he introduced me to his wife. Also got married. And tomorrow will be their 1 year anniversary. They are young people, you know, the same for children who grew up, go to school, go to college, and graduating, and, you know, got me married and doing extremely good. So I just want to give God thanks. Brothers and sisters on this line, let us, you know, encourage our young people. Let us pray with them. Let us pray for them. Because I am telling you, when you look and you saw what is happening now, and look and saw our young people is still holding on to the Lord. Young people are still doing what is right in the sight of God. Before they get themselves in trouble, they get themselves married. You know, they're married and living happily. We shall pray that God will pour out his blessings upon these young people so that their marriage will be successful and they will live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God, and that be example to their other young people. So that's my prayer for Sister Leola, and I just want to let everyone know that, you know, I'm still here, I'm here, and I'm doing good, and I thank you all for prayer. We still have a work to be done. It's not finished. We are expecting shortly to be in Louisiana to do that mission. And you know what? We have many, many more to be thinking of, because the Lord wants us to seek souls though. So thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line, although it was late. You know, thank you for opening my line. God bless.
Man, amen. Know your own time. Amen. You may think it's late, but it's on time. And Sister Power, Sister Brenda's going to offer a word of prayer. I think I tried to open her line and it was turning. But who is that young man you was praying for that giving praise for it? That's your grandson?
When? Today?
The young man you were giving praise that got married.
My church community grandson. They're doing extremely good.
The Lord, that I'm so happy to hear that our young children, our young men and young women, doing the right thing, Sister Power. That is truly a blessing. We can't ask if it's better than that. That's a blessing. So I thank God for that. So we're going to open the line for Sister Brenda, Sister Power. Your line going to stay open, but let's open the line for Sister Brenda. Sister Brenda, are you there? So let's see. I don't understand. Her line is spinning. Maybe her phone is weak. I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
You want me to pray? You want me to pray?
Yes, Sister Power.
All right. Yes, my dear beloved, this is the time that we are going to the altar to pray to her Father, and you have the opportunity to bow your head and or kneel, and let us come to our Father. Give you a little time just to, you know, focus your mind and to present some of these names that was called for different reasons to the Lord. I just give you a few minutes. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy all. Heavenly Father, we come to you this moment to give you thanks, to give you praises. Lord, we are asking you at this time to forgive us of all our many sins and shortcomings. We want to thank you for your love towards your children, your sons and your daughters. We want to thank you for providing for us our daily means, Lord, from creation up to this very moment. We want to thank you that you are our deliverer. When trials and troubles and Satan come down upon us, you deliver us from all evil. We want to thank you, dear Father, that we can call upon you in the night, in the morning, at noon, any time in the day, because our Father cares and he promised to hear and to listen to his children. So we want to thank you. We want to thank you for providing for us our daily bread, Lord, three times a meal, morning, noon, and night, and also to provide for us shelter over our head. And, Lord, a roof over our head. And also, dear Lord, we want to thank you for providing for us, Lord, brothers and sisters and your words that you have given unto us in the holy writings, and also, Lord, the testimony from your prophet that you have used to bring back these things to us and to allow us to be more simpler to us, Lord, so that we can understand clearly, Lord, your love for us. So we want to thank you. We want to thank you for brothers and sisters, Lord, that we can join at the welcome table each night, Lord, and to bring praises and honor to you. We want to thank you, Lord, for your new message that you have given us for this time so that we can understand what is ahead of us and get ourselves ready to eternity. We want to thank you, dear Lord, for our young people as we place them in your care in which, Lord, I'm so thankful that I can be a representative for you, that these young people stick to me, and Lord, they show me the love and the care, and Lord, I show them the love and the care just the same. I want you, as I lift them up to you this evening, I'm asking you to surround them, Lord. There are some who are very successful, and their determination, Lord, is to follow you, Lord. The newlywed marriage, Lord Jesus, a year. I am asking you, Father, to allow your spirit to reign in those young people's life, that their marriage will grow sweeter and sweeter, and that they will be an example, Lord, to the others. Father, they could be out there doing crazy things, but they decided, dear Lord, that they would do the right thing that you have commanded them. So I just want to thank you. When I look upon my grandchildren, then, Lord Jesus, some of the time I can remember that I to give them a treat and see how, you know, what was happening, and I could take them to the park and buy things for them, and they have a good time as young children.
Yes,
I do not regret of doing that, and I just give you the praise. I thank you for the mother. I thank you for the father, Lord, I will step in and, Lord, see what will happen. Lord, you are so good. You are so great. So I'm asking you to cover them. Thank you for the newly married last year. I was not there at the marriage, at the wedding, but I thank you that you have allowed me to go to represent myself and the family at the baby christening, baby shower, dear Lord. This shower was a shower, dear Father. It was like a marriage. But, dear Father, we know you was there because everybody was there. Mother and father was there to witness their daughter and their son-in-law, dear Lord. It was both men and women who was there working for these young people and giving praise for what you have done. So, Heavenly Father, I just want to give you thanks. And as the Lord, she is preparing to have her child anytime. You are the great physician, and you are the ruler of this earth, and you can the deliverer. You can deliver her, Lord. So we ask you to allow her to have a safe delivery. Father, you are so good. You are so great. Lord, we lift up Advent Light to you this evening. Advent Light, Lord, the mission that Advent Light is pursuing now at this time in Louisiana. We are asking you to go cut and clear the surrounding, that when we reach there, everything will be bright in our sight to call souls to you, dear Lord, and prepare those people that they will be willing and ready to listen to you because you are coming soon. We lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John to you and the family. We lift up Sister Leola, Brother Ray, and her family. We lift up Brother Rick and her family, his family, Ashley, Lord, and Jarvis, Lord. We place them in your care. We lift up Sister Anita, Miko, and her family, her children, her siblings, and all who she pray on her prayer list. Then they are numberless, but you know the names. We lift up Sister Carla, Lord, and her family, and her mission, Lord, and her work, Father God, with those patients. Lord, we ask you to cover her and give her the strength. We lift up Brother O'Neill and his family, dear Lord, especially his children, his siblings, Lord. We cry out, Lord, have mercy and help them, dear Lord. And also, Brother O'Neill, dear Father, with whatsoever he is doing, Lord, allow him to continue to do your will, dear Father, with the missionary ministry, medical missionary work, Lord, is the product that produced, Lord. We are asking you to pour your angel and allow them to be successful. We lift up Brother Elder Richardson and Sister Richardson today. Lord, we want to thank you that the Bible study each Monday will be starting soon. And dear Lord, we know we all admit it, Lord Jesus, because now is the time, dear Father, your work, your words have to reach out to your people, that your people will understand what is facing ahead of us. So we just want to thank you for that. We ask you, Lord, as we lift up Brother Yudi and his family, Lord, continue to pour out your blessings upon them. We lift up Sister Stephanie and Kaja and Katie and her family members and the Chatham Jubra, Elder Elroy and his family, the children, Brother Sister Rutan and her family, dear Lord, and all the others, Lord, that is on these lines, Lord. We lift up our dear sister who is in Antigua. Lord, continue to bless us and Aubrey and her auntie and grandmother, dear Lord. We lift them up to you. And Selma, we lift them up to you. My grandchildren, Lord, Naomi and Jojo and Denise and Ashley, dear Father, and their father in Africa, we lift them up to you. Lord, we lift up Brother Eli as he pray for Jahari and his friends. He pray for his mother and he pray for each and every one of us on this line, dear Lord. What more could we ask of you more than give you praise and bring honor to you, Brother Akin, who present the message. Lord, cover him under your blood, Brother Ricardo, who present his message, Lord, on the message. We ask you to cover him and his family member. Lord, bless this line and allow it to be prosperous. Allow it to do you want us to do, dear Lord, to go out and to share your gospel message to the world. Thank you, Lord, for hearing the speaker we present to you tonight. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mother, thank you for the prayer. I tell you that's a blessing. And I tell you, I wanted to get my book and sing a song, but I can't sing a song without the book because I need the words. But
You don't have a speaker?
Yeah, Brother Akeem will be the speaker tonight, but he's not on. He's coming in a few minutes, but I just wanted to do a song. Sister Brenda Line is still turning. But I wanted to do a song. Maybe we can let Brother Eli. Get Brother Eli to sing a
song. Okay.
Hmm?
No, I was asking if Brother O'Neill that's on the line.
Yeah, he's not on the line. Brother Akeem is going to speak tonight, but I wanted to do a song, but I can't sing the song unless you can sing a song, too. I know you want to sing a song and pray, but
I
can't.
I never plan a sorry. I never put a sorry, you know. If I don't already plan it, I know this. I true when I turn, I don't like to see it. After I have a plan.
But let me let Brother Eli do a song. He usually have his tune. So let us just open this line, and then Brother Akeem will be coming in a minute or so. So hold on. Okay, we're going to open Brother Eli. Oh, well, I don't think my computer is not opening. So, Sister Power, I'm just going to read from the Spirit of Prophecy. Just read a few things here. Because it's circling and it's not opening, brother. It's not opening its line either.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's my computer. So let me just read what I was reading earlier. I was reading something from Spirit of Prophets. I was reading a devotion. And I'm going to read. Okay, I was reading it. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Ye shall teach them diligently to your children, and ye shall talk to them when ye sit in your house, or when ye walk by the way, and when ye lie down, and when you rise up. Deuteronomy 6-7. You have failed in your family to appreciate the sacredness of the Sabbath and teach it to your children and enjoin upon them the importance of keeping it according to the commandment. Ye sensible are not clear and ready to discern the high standard that we must reach in commandment keepers. But God will assist you in your efforts when you take hold of the work earnestly. Brother Akeem have not joined yet. You should possess perfect control over yourself. Then you can have better success in controlling your children when they are unruly. And I'm going to stop there, Sister Power, and I'm going to do a song, so just give me a second for Brother Akeem. He should be joining us in a second, so I'm going to play a song. Amen? I'm just going to play a song That's what we're going to do. Oh, we're going to play this song. We're going to play your song, Power. Uh-oh. That's not working. My computer's not working, so let me just do a little short song. My computer's not. It's circling.
All right. Make us see if I can do this one. I'm lying now.
Okay.
Make us see if I can do
okay.
Okay. I must tell Jesus.
Oh. Brother Akeem is on, but his line not showing up. He's on.
Okay.
He won't even come on because my computer, I don't know what's going on with it. Oh.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me see what I can do. Go ahead and sing until, because he say he's on. He was on. It's my computer. Yeah, he said, go and sing, Sister Power. I'm trying to get my computer to work.
Okay. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He surely will help me. He ever loves and cares for its own. I I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus will help us. Jesus alone.
Okay,
amen.
Oh, I got it.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for being patient, because my computer, and I see others didn't join, but my computer was having a little problem. But we're going to open the line for Brother Akeem. Sister Power has lifted up everyone in prayer. So, Brother Akeem, your
All
line
right.
is open. I hope you can hear me.
All right. Yes, I can
Amen.
Hear you. Can you hear me?
Amen.
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. Lord, and no problems. I was just praying for everything that will work out. And so praise the Lord, everything worked out. Let us have one more word of prayer as we head on in to this subject. Father in heaven, continue to illuminate our minds, strengthen our hearts, and draw us ever closer to you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we seek to understand these important subjects. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so last week we covered the subject of the first part of the sixth seal. We covered verses 12 and 13. We found out that verses 14 through 17 is speaking concerning the second coming, the events surrounding and leading up to the second coming, which means, as I mentioned last week, we are between the last word of Revelation 4, of verse 13, the last word of verse 13, and the first word of verse 14. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casted her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Last word of verse 13. And first word of verse 14, the heaven departed as a scroll. So we are between wind and. We are between verses 13 and 14. That is where we are in history. And in between verses 13 and 14, what we're going to realize is God will accomplish chapter 7. So between verses 13 and 14 is where we are. And it is between verses 13 and 14 that God will accomplish that which is stated in chapter 7, the formation of the group that will stand and see Jesus come in the clouds of glory. And so as we study this, how do we get to this point? How do we understand that? It says in verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when she is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Why? For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So notice how this ends, how chapter 6 ends. In light of Jesus' second coming and the wrath of God, which will begin before Jesus returns and ends as he appears in the clouds, reaches its climax, I should say, when he appears in the clouds, who will be able to stand through that time? Who will be able to stand when Christ returns? Who will be able to stand during the wrath of God, which begins sometime before Christ returns and climaxes as he appears in the clouds of glory? Who will be able to stand is the question. And so as we look at this now, you would expect then that in chapter 7, John would continue onward to the seventh seal, because we're in the sixth. You would expect that in chapter 7, he continues to the seventh seal. But rather than that, chapter 8, verse 1 begins with the seventh seal. Chapter 8 and verse 1 says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. So this is interesting. rather than chapter 7, beginning with the seventh seal, chapter 8 does. Why? The reason being that God takes chapter 7 to answer the question that chapter 6 ends off with. And what is that question? Who will be able to stand is the question. So God takes an entire chapter to answer that question as to who will be able to stand in the time of the wrath of the Lamb. And so it states this in chapter 7 and verse 1. This is now the sixth seal. Keep in mind, this is the continuation of the sixth seal. It says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. So notice that. Notice what we're realizing here. We're seeing this powerful truth that God is showing us, that when it comes to the seals, the seventh seal is in chapter 8, which lets us know that chapter 7 is part of the sixth seal. It is a continuation of the sixth. And why? Because God is taking the time to answer the final question, chapter 6, which is who shall be able to stand, not just at the second coming, but during the outpouring of the Lamb's wrath. And so we're going to see what inference. All right, so as we look at this, chapter 7 states, and after these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. That's east, west, north, south. A symbol of the heavenly intelligences that are stationed all over the world, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Why? Because there's a sealing work to be done under the time period of the sixth seal. How do we know this? Verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east. That is the place of the rising of the sun. Actually, you read it in Mandarin. If you read the Mandarin Bible in China, they actually translate it that way. It actually reads, and I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the east. I'll never forget that. Actually, Uriah Smith actually mentions that in his book, Daniel and Revelation, the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, the same thing. And I remember when I went to seminary, a friend of mine from China, he was reading in his Bible, and literally on one part of the page, you had the Mandarin translation, you had the Mandarin language, and then you had on the other side of the page, the English translation. And literally the English translation from the Mandarin reads, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, or actually it reads from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, that is to the heavenly intelligences stationed all over the world, symbolized in four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. What did he cry out to them? Verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now I wonder, how many will be sealed? What are we looking at here? Whether this number is symbolic or literal, what are we looking at? It says in verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then it goes through the 12 tribes. So we're realizing here, the sixth seal will not be complete. Part of the completion of the sixth seal is the formation, the sealing of the 144,000. That is a part of the sixth seal. And when are they formed? This is the way that God answers this. He says they will be formed to meet, in order to meet, just before the outpouring of God's wrath, of the Lamb's wrath. Now, what is the wrath? How will Christ's wrath be manifested at the end of time? And you remember, Christ is God. So how will the wrath of God be manifested at the very end? The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 15 and verse 1, it says the following, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them, that is, in the seven last plagues, is filled up the wrath of God. So the wrath of God, how will it be manifested at the very end? In the seven last plagues. That is what the wrath of God is, the wrath of the Lamb. As Christ, just before Christ comes, and this begins. Right after probation closes, this is what begins to happen. The plagues begin. One, first plague. Second plague. And what are these plagues? You go with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 16. It tells us what the plagues would be. Revelation chapter 16, it says in verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous, that is painful. There's a painful and harmful sore that fell upon, a sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image, that is, those who believed in the church governing the state and telling the state what to do. Where you have the church running the government, that is what the image is, and that will first, the place where the Bible predicts that this will happen in a way that it will change the dynamics of everything else in the world is in the United States of America. That's how Revelation 16 is connected to Revelation 13, because Revelation 13 tells us the end time scenario will be that the church dictates to the state. There will be a revival in apostate Christianity, and it will result in so much power, miraculous power, because of fallen angels working in the midst of apostate Christendom, that the power that they have will cause them to grow in influence until the Constitution itself is repudiated, according to the spirit of prophecy, set aside so that the church begins to dictate to the state what to do. The church will run the government. Friends, this is what was foretold in Scripture. It is not a situation where it is the opposite, where the government runs the church. I see many Seventh-day Adventists becoming led astray by that. Is that right? Of course it's not. Of course the government running the church is not right. But this is not prophecy as predicted. Therefore, when we call certain things Sunday Law Junior, that is not Sunday Law Junior. It's not the church running the state. We have to realize that we're not in line with Bible prophecy. Revelation 13 tells us what will happen at the end. It is the church uniting with the state, and not just uniting, but running the state. Whenever you see something like that happens, and then it doesn't go all the way, that is a Sunday Law Junior. That is what were people calling it? The term they were using for the past few years. It was called, the statement was, this is a test run. That was the statement. This is a test run. Friends, a test run will be Revelation 13, 11 through 18. When the church gets so much power that it begins apostate Christianity, and we're not talking about Catholicism yet, but apostate Christianity, apostate, as Spirit of Prophecy calls it, Protestantism, apostate Protestantism, governing the state and telling it what to do. Let's say that happened, and then it didn't go all the way, and we got back to normal. Friends, that would be a test run. And friends, you know, it's interesting. That happened in the 1880s. In the late 1880s, around 1888, some of you may know what I'm going to, that actually took place. You had A.T. Jones standing at the 50th Congress of the United States of America because the entire nation was involved in a situation where the national reform movement, the Christian nationalist movement of that day, was seeking to change the Constitution and run the state itself. Christianizing the very public system, public school system of the United States. And something I didn't realize until I read the book Return of the Latter Rain, in the 51st Congress of the next year, after the situation that took place in 1888, in which Senator Blair lost his argument to pass the National Sunday Law, the very next thing that happened was Senator Blair again came back the next year. I didn't realize this until few months ago. He came back the next year and said, we need to Christianize our public school systems. Friends, you hear evangelical Protestantism saying that today. And you know what's crazy? You hear a lot of Seventh-day Adventists agreeing with them. But A.T. Jones went into the courts again in 1889. I believe it was February. And he defeated that bill. This is why we must know our history. It's not just that he defeated God through him. Christ through him defeated the Sunday law bill. But it is that Christ also through him defeated this agenda to Christianize the public school system the very next year. And so this is, if that happens in the United States and then it doesn't go all the way, that's a test run. That's a precursor to the image of the beast, especially if it goes all the way. But if the government is the one that is trying to have control, according to many throughout the past few years, that's bad, and it's dangerous. But friends, it is not a test run, because we know, according to Revelation 13, that's not how it's going to go down. But those who agree with this agenda for the church to govern this time, what do they receive when probation closes? They receive, as we just saw in Revelation 16, verse 2, the first plague, the painful sore. The second angel comes, verse 3, poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Number 4, the third angel poured out his vial, or verse 4, upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. So it's not just that the sea became as blood, it is that the rivers and the fountains became as blood. So in other words, there's no place to get water. And some of these very plagues, some of them, I will get the statement for you next week, some of them will be, I believe it's the first four, inspiration tells us, will be in certain localities around the world. But then the last three will be worldwide. And they fall upon whom? They will fall upon those who have the mark of the beast. Then you read in verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. And power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. It personifies the sun, scorching men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Fifth angel, verse 10, poured out his vial upon the sea, the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blaspheme the God of heaven. So this is how you know he that is filthy will be filthy still, even when the plagues are being poured upon them. It states in verse 11, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. That's how we know that their cases are fixed. They will not turn. It will be the same for the righteous. They will not turn from righteousness. Verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up in the way of the kings of the east, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And this is where we see the final miracle working wonders of Satan and his fallen angels to grab people and forever attach them to his agenda. Because he knows the end is coming, but his resources are drying up. So he says, you know what? I will make sure they stay connected to me. There are many Christians today who feel like, whoa, this is being fulfilled because the Euphrates River is literally drying up. But this is not what chapter 16 is talking about. The Euphrates River was the irrigation system of Babylon. The water of the Euphrates River ran through Babylon. And so what the scriptures is revealing to us is that there is an end time Babylon. Very different, it's having the same characteristics, but very different from the literal Babylon in Nebuchadnezzar's time. The way that we know it has to be different is because after the situation where they took God's people into captivity, there was a time later on where God prophesied through Jeremiah that Babylon would become desolate. That when you looked there, you would see nothing. No man would live there. There would be jackals and other animals that would run through there because the place would become a desert. And that's what it is today. So when we talk about end time Babylon, what we're talking about is a system. And we understand the system to be a conglomeration of not just the false religions of the world, but inspiration gives a more detailed foundation in showing us that Babylon, according to books like, according to chapters like Revelation 13 and Revelation 17 and 18, Babylon is a conglomeration, a mixture of apostate Protestantism in America and worldwide, and the papacy itself, having the component of spiritualism in its midst, the working of devils to deceive the nations. This is what Babylon is, the threefold union of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Spiritualism, apostate Protestantism, and the papal system. This is Babylon in its fullness. And so through Babylon runs, in ancient Babylon, ran the Euphrates River. Cyrus, when he was about to take over Babylon, by the way, he diverted the Euphrates River. Both history and the Bible reveals that. Went in and destroyed Babylon. And so what we're seeing here, and Cyrus and Darius were the kings of the east, by the way. It's very interesting. And it says in verse 12 of chapter 16, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way, that the way, or for the purpose of making way for the kings of the east, that way might be prepared. That's very interesting, because the king of the east, the kings of the east, when Babylon fell in Daniel chapter 5, the kings of the east were Cyrus and Darius. They were actually relatives, by the way. And Cyrus came, they were the kings coming from the east, the Medo-Persian Empire coming, and they diverted the Euphrates River, dried it up, and took Babylon that very night, killing the king of Babylon. In the same way, at the end of time, as the people in the world, because you remember, River Euphrates, what does water represent in Bible prophecy? Water represents peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So in other words, the peoples of the earth that actually supported Babylon, because you remember Babylon was the water system that the Euphrates River was the water system that flowed through Babylon. It was the irrigation system of Babylon. And that was dried up when Cyrus diverted it, or dried it up. In the same way, at the end of time, when the peoples, multitudes, nations of the world, which the river represents now symbolically, realize that Babylon has nothing to offer it. It can't protect them from the plagues. They said, if you receive our mark, you'll be able to buy or sell. But now they're realizing they've lost everything. The waters have become blood. The sun is scorching them. Friends, not only that, there is darkness upon the very seat of the papacy. Friends, all of these things are happening. They begin to pull away from Babylon. But then the devil gives a one last final move of deception before Jesus' return. What does he do? It says in verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the dragon, out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. That's, by the way, dragon, Satan, beast, that's the papacy, and the false prophet. That is the one who gave power to the papacy again. A prophet speaks on behalf of the power that spoke on behalf of the papacy and will finally one day bring it to power again is none other than apostate Protestantism in this nation. And so as this happens, evil spirits, unclean spirits come out from these systems. And what do? It says in verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That, by the way, is the battle of Armageddon. Jesus hasn't even come yet. How do we know that? Verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So notice, Jesus has not yet returned under the sixth plague, and then the seventh plague comes. So we're realizing the river Euphrates drying up is not talking about the literal Euphrates River drying up. It's talking about the symbolic river of peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, after probation closes, beginning to pull their resources and their support from Babylon, because they realize all that Babylon promised them the system that they were a part of lied to them. And so they begin drawing away. But as they begin drawing away, notice they're still evil. They still have the mark of the beast. As they begin to draw away, one last ditch effort comes. The devil pulls one last ditch effort of miracles, signs and wonders, draws them back in again. And then the seventh plague comes, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices, thunders, and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. Remember we read about an earthquake in the sixth seal? It's the same earthquake. Such as was not since men were upon the earth, and so mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, meaning the time for her judgment had come, and gave to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. That's between 70 to 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. That great earthquake is the signal to us that the second coming is happening at that very time. How do we know that? Because chapter 6 tells us from verses 14 onward. Chapter 6, verse 14 says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place." We just read that in the seventh plague. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." And correction, the earthquake of the seventh plague is not the same as the earthquake we find at the beginning of the sixth seal. It's a different earthquake. The earthquake at the beginning of the sixth seal is the Lisbon earthquake. The earthquake at the end of the seventh plague that we find in the seventh plague is the final earthquake that will take place. And friends, it will be even greater, 20 probably to 100 times greater than the Lisbon earthquake. This is the wrath that climaxes at the second coming. Now, once this happens, friends, this is why God says, okay, but don't allow that time to come. There's a time when the winds will blow upon the earth, but Christ says, don't let that time come until the servants of God are sealed. So before the time comes, before probation closes and the seven last plagues begin to fall, the 144,000 will be formed. Because this is what chapter 7 is revealing to us. It says here, verse 3 of chapter 7, "Hurt not the earth nor the sea till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." So the 144,000 are formed prior to the close of probation and the falling of the plagues. And so they now formed, they go through that period when the winds are released, when the four winds are released. And winds, notice the winds bring harm, because it says, "Do not release the four winds, lest they hurt the earth, the sea, the tree." So we're realizing these winds aren't good. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 25 through 27 actually reveals to us that winds in Bible prophecy represent strife, commotion, war, desolation, destruction. So God is literally, Christ is literally holding back. Now as we are living between verses 13 and 14 of chapter 6, he's holding back the four winds from blowing, that this final group can be assembled. They're not the only ones that are saved. There are many people throughout history that will be saved, but they are the ones that God has chosen to go through for the time period between the close of probation and the second coming, when the world will be at its most evil point. God has a movement that will stand. He will have a people, 144,000, who will stand even through that period, even in the darkest moment, when the papacy is at the height of its power. Friends, even when that moment comes, in the midst of signs and wonders and miracles and plagues and desolation and destruction, there will be a people that will stand faithful all the way up until the Lamb appears in the clouds. This is the answer to the question, who shall be able to stand? The answer, the 144,000. I pray that that made sense for us, is that we may be a part of that group. I pray that unless we are laid in the grave or unless we become martyrs, because there will be end-time martyrs just before probation closes, but after probation closes, friends, not one saint will die. And so this is why this is something I truly desire to be a part of. We are told in inspiration that we should strive to be among this group. And what that really means is we should strive by the grace and power of Jesus alone to see fit that we are the final generation. That's what the call really is. Christ, after 1844, friends, Christ can come in any generation that chooses to go all the way with him. The problem is that since 1844, there has been no generation that has said we will go all the way. But the generation that says we will go all the way is the generation in which the world will end. And this group we are looking at here will be formed. I pray that this made sense. I pray that if God would have it within his eternal plan, that we will be a part of this group. Father in heaven, I pray that these things made sense, Lord. We went over much this night. But I pray that it made sense. Lord, give us an experience where we become so tired of this world. Lord, we will work with you to be hid in Christ, that he will become so revealed that, Lord, the world will receive the final demonstration it needs. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Brother, I need that scripture, Proverbs 25 or 1 through, what's that scripture?
Proverbs chapter 1.
Proverbs chapter 1, verses
25 through 27.
Okay, I had it backwards. All right, I got it. All right, then, and what this chapter mean is, what did you say it? Strife?
Oh, that. Sorry. Go ahead.
What this Proverbs 1 through 27, 25 through 27? Oh. What it gonna mean?
So that shows us the meaning of the symbol of winds. What do winds represent? And that represents destruction.
Promotion? Oh.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, Brother King, we thank you so much for this word we heard tonight. And I want to ask my brothers and sisters, if there's anyone that have a question about what you heard tonight. And if you have a question, you can raise your hand and you can ask Brother King now. And just let me know within another second or so, raise your hand. But if no one have any question, and hopefully we all got it, and I just thank God for this. And as Brother Akeem just come bring us these messages, we thank God for him. And we also continue to pray for him. Our brother has gotten a job with the conference. You can announce it if you like, Brother. You can announce it yourself.
Oh, okay. No, by God's grace alone is... a few weeks ago, I finally was fully hired by the Chesapeake Conference, and I'm really thankful. So went from volunteer lay pastor for the past 2 years and now officially hired as an associate and also a senior pastor, associate pastor at one church in Delaware and a senior pastor at the other. I'm very thankful to the Lord for them.
Okay, amen, amen. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to keep you in prayer, and may God use you and bless you in everywhere you go. Amen. And we just thank you. And just let us know, please let us know if you are able or not on Sunday ahead of time, if you don't mind. Yeah.
Okay.
If you can speak, because we know you're going to be a little bit more busy, but let us know if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for all your hard work that you put into studying these messages. Amen. So once again, we thank and we just give God thanks for you also. So God bless. And my brothers and sisters, we want to thank you for being patient also for coming and listening to this great message that God wants us to all know and learn. So thank you, and you all have a blessed and a peaceful night. And I'm just going to end with this song. Amen. This song here. Amen. Lead me to Calvary. It may not play. It's buffering. So good night, brothers and sisters. It won't play. It's just buffering. So thank you, and you all have a good night. Amen.